الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، in our previous class, we're discussing what the Messenger he mentioned صلى الله عليه وسلم about the virtue of the people of knowledge over the sincere and devout worshippers, over the sincere and devout worshippers, and his statement صلى الله عليه وسلم إن فضل العالم على العابد كفضل القمر ليلة البدر كفضل القمر ليلة البدر على سائر الكواكب. That indeed the virtue of the scholar over the devout worshipper is like the virtue of the moon on a full moon's night over the rest of the stars. Over the rest of the stars. In our previous class, we had left off on an issue that Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala he had presented in Mas'ala. طرحها رحمه الله تعالى فإن قيل فكيف وقع تشبيه العالم بالقمر دون الشمس وهو أعظم نورا. So if someone were to say, now how did the resemblance or the comparison, how or why was the comparison made from the scholar with the moon instead of the sun, whenever the sun, the light of the sun is greater, why did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam compare the scholar to the moon and not the sun whenever the light of the sun is greater? Whenever the light of the sun is greater. Everybody with me on the question, the issue here? He said, rahimahullah, qila fihi fa'idatan. It'll be said here that in this point here, in this mas'ala, in this issue, there's two benefits. There's two benefits in this example here. In this parable here, in this resemblance here, in this comparison here, by choosing to compare the person of knowledge to the moon and not the sun. Fihi fa'idatan. There's two benefits. إحداهما أن نور القمر لما كان مستفادا من غيره كان تشبيه العالم الذي نوره مستفاد من شمس الرسالة بالقمر أولى بالقمر أولى من تشبيهه بالشمس. The first benefit here is that the light of the moon is derived from another source. The light of the moon is derived from another source, an outside source. An outside source. The light of the moon كان مستفادا من غيره. The light of the moon is derived from another source, an outside source. You understand what he's talking about? Does the moon have light? Does the moon shine and produce its own light? Where does the light of the moon come from? Where does the light of the moon come from? It comes from the sun. It comes from the sun. So the moon, the light of the moon is a borrowed light that is derived from another source. It's not its own light proceeding from itself. It's not its own light proceeding from itself. And also the scholar, the resemblance of the scholar to the moon is more beneficial in this manner and more precise, because likewise his light also is derived from the light of the message. From the light of the message, and the risala, the wahi, the revelation that was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore it's more rightful that the scholar be compared to the moon over the sun from this aspect. From this aspect. We understand? Because the light of the moon, no doubt, is beautiful. We have seen likewise it's beneficial. And the moon has beauty in itself and adornment for itself with this light and brilliance, and also it's beneficial for others. And also the scholar is similar. The light of the scholar, the knowledge of the scholar, the insight of the scholar, it adorns him. And it adorns him and beautifies him and his creed and his belief and his conduct and his manners and the way that he moves, the way that he speaks, the way that he acts. He himself will become from the best of the people by the light that he's carrying, and the most beautiful of people from the light that he's carrying. And likewise, he's beneficial for others, and he helps them and guides them and directs them and teaches them and reminds them and admonishes them. So therefore, his light benefits himself first and foremost, and likewise others, just like the light of the moon.
just like the light of the moon. But also from this aspect here, he's saying, rahimahullah, that the light of the moon is derived from another source, not from itself. Although it's beautiful, although it has great brilliance, and although it's also very beneficial for others, the origin of that life is that the origin of that light is that it's derived from another source, from the light of the sun. So likewise, the person of knowledge, the true scholar of the sunnah, the true scholar of the Quran and the sunnah, his light, he's adorned by way of that, and beautified by way of that, and upright by way of that, and beneficial for others likewise by way of that. But that light that he has, it's not from himself. That light that he has, it's not from himself. It's not from his own effort, his own striving. It's not from his own knowledge. Rather, it's derived from the light of the revelation that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, therefore, from this aspect, it's more rightful to compare the person of knowledge to a moon in this light. He says, "Athaniya," the second fa'ida, the second benefit. In this issue, أَنَّ الشَّمْسَ لَا يَخْتَلِفُ حَالُهَا فِي نُورِهَا وَلَا يَلْحَقُهَا مُحَاقٌ وَلَا تَفَاوَتٌ فِي الْإِضَاءَةِ وَلَا يَلْحَقُهَا مَحَاقٌ وَلَا تَفَاوَتٌ فِي الْإِضَاءَةِ. He says, and the second aspect, or the second benefit here, is that the sun, its situation, the circumstance of the sun never changes. It does not differ with regards to its light. The light of the sun is always bright and shiny and powerful in the same manner. The light of the sun, it doesn't change. It's not changing and the likes. It doesn't fluctuate or vary. And nothing ever comes to it causing it to decrease or to fall back in its light. You understand that? The sun, the light of the sun is radiant always. It's not a point in the day or in the month, any throughout the year, where some of the light of the sun is seen and other parts of the light is not seen, or sometimes it's strong. The light is radiant in the same manner, in its radiance, in the same degree, in the same amount all the time. And nothing comes to it that would decrease that or change that or cause it to fluctuate. He says, وَأَمَّا الْقَمَرْ فَإِنَّهُ يَقِلُّ نُورُهُ وَيَكْثُرُ وَيَمْتَرِئُ وَيَنْقُصُ. And as for the moon, then sometimes its light is lesser and other times it is more. And sometimes it is full and sometimes it is deficient. And in the light of the moon, sometimes it's full and bright. And other times it's deficient according to the time of the month. For example, in the beginning of the month, there's no light. Somebody will be looking for the new moon and it will not be seen. And then until the crescent is seen, it's only a small portion of light. And then as the month goes on, that portion of light increases little by little until it becomes full. And then again, it starts to decrease until it's gone. So the light of the moon is constantly changing. Sometimes it's great and sometimes it's lesser in its brilliance. And he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, kama anna al-ulama'a fil ilmi ala maratibihim min kathratihi wa qillatihi. فَيُفَضَّلُ كُلٌّ مِّنْهُمْ فِي إِلْمِهِ بِحَسِبِ كَثْرَتِهِ وَقِلَّتِهِ وَظُهُورِهِ وَخَفَائِهِ كَمَا يَكُونُ الْقَمَرُ كَذَلِكَ فَعَالِمٌ كَالْبَدْرِ لَيْلَةَ تَتِمِّهِ وَآخِرُ دُونَهُ بِلَيْلَةٍ ثَانِيَةٍ وَثَالِثَةٍ وَمَا بَعْدَهَا إِلَى آخِرِ مَرَاتِبِهِ وَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٌ عِندَ اللَّهِ. So it says, rahimahullah, just as the scholars, likewise in their knowledge, their different levels and ranks from having an abundance or lesser than that, from having a lot of knowledge or having a few, or having a lesser amount of knowledge. The people of knowledge, they vary in this affair, in their different levels and ranks. مِنْ كَثْرَتِهِ وَقِلَّتِهِ. Some of them have an abundance of knowledge, a great vast amount of knowledge, and others, although they are scholars, and in this rank and category of people, they're lesser than that. They're lesser than those above them, any in rank and in degree, in the knowledge that they carry. So each one of them has a virtue according to the amount of knowledge that he has, any whether it's a lot or a little, any whether it's an increased amount or a decreased amount, or whether it's made apparent and well known, or whether it's hidden, any according to the rank and status of that of that person of knowledge. Some of the scholars, they have vast, great oceans of knowledge, and others also they have vast knowledge, but it's not of that amount. And others, likewise, they're highly active and their knowledge is widespread throughout the lands, and others, they are not as active, so therefore they are not as known as some of the other scholars, although they are from the people of knowledge. Although they are from the people of knowledge. So therefore, the benefit and the virtue is according to their knowledge and how it's spread and well known and seen and benefited from. So there's a scholar who is like the full moon on a night whenever it is complete and full, and another on the night after that, and another on the night after that. And the one who's similar to the moon, for example, on the 15th night. This is whenever the moon is at its fullest. But then if you move on to the 16th night, the light starts to weaken. It starts to decrease and go away little by little. So the further away from that point will determine the amount of the light. So likewise, the knowledge, this is what he's trying to say. Until the end of the levels, and that the people of knowledge, they are different levels with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are different levels with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, these two benefits, they are to summarize. Why are the people of knowledge resembled to the moon and not to the sun in this narration whenever the sun is greater in light? And the response is that there are two benefits here. And the first one is that just as the light of the moon is derived from another source, likewise the light of the scholar is derived from another source. The light of the moon is actually derived from the light of the sun. And the light and the knowledge of the scholar is actually derived from the light of the revelation. From the light of the revelation and the knowledge that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the second benefit is that the light of the sun is constant. The light and the radiance and the brilliance of the sun is constant. It doesn't fluctuate or vary. As for the light of the moon, then it fluctuates and varies. Sometimes it's more powerful than others, and sometimes it's greater than others, and sometimes it's more full than others. And likewise, the people of knowledge, they fluctuate and they vary in their level of knowledge and their level of striving to teach and spread that knowledge. So therefore, the resemblance of the scholar to the moon is more suitable from these two aspects. Ibn al-Qayyim, he says, rahimahullah, فَإِنْ قِيلَ تشبيه العلماء بالنجوم أمر معلوم كقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم أصحابك النجوم ولهذا هي في تعبير الرؤيا عبارة عن العلماء فكيف وقع تشبيههم هنا بالقمر. So now he says, if one were to say, now presenting another issue, and this is a well known methodology. فإن قيل or فإن قال قائل, if someone were to say, or if it was said in this manner like this, this is something that we have seen in the previous works that we have studied, like the work of Al-Ajuri rahimahullah ta'ala, the author that we're studying his book now. And he died in the year 360. This is his methodology. Many times he will say the likes of this, فإن قيل, أو وإن قال قائل, and the likes like this. This is an old methodology that is actually derived from the prophetic methodology that has come in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that was from the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, whenever he came and he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أخبرني عن الإسلام, أخبرني عن الإيمان, أخبرني عن الإحسان. And in the end, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إنه جبريل أتاكم يعلمكم دينكم أتدري من السائل. Do you know who the questioner is? إنه جبريل أتاكم يعلمكم دينكم. Indeed, it was Jibreel, he came to teach you your religion. So from the manners of teaching and learning the religion is to ask questions whenever a person he already knows. So the author is asking questions here and then answering them. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would do the same thing. أتدري من الغيبة? Do you know what is backbiting? Do you know what is backbiting? And then they would answer. أتدري من المفلس? أتدري من المفلس من أمتي? Do you know who the bankrupt one from my ummah is? And they would answer. And then he would respond the response that he is intending, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يا أبا ضر ترى أن الغينة غين المال فقط. Oh Abu Dhar, do you think that having wealth is the wealth of, having richness is the richness of wealth only? أترى أن الفقر فقر المال only يعني فقط. And he's asking questions like this, and then he will answer. So this is a well known prophetic methodology, and likewise the Salaf, they had followed that rahimahumullah. فإن قيل تشبيه العلماء بالنجوم أمر معلوم. So now someone were to say that resembling the scholars, comparing the scholars to the stars, is something well known. As in the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my companions are like the stars. My companions are like the stars. This is a narration that has weakness in it. But in any case, the issue is no doubt a clear issue. So he says, وَلِهَذَا هِيَ فِي تَعْبِيدَ الرُّؤْيَا عِبَارَةٌ عَنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ. And for this reason, the interpretation of stars in the dream are the scholars. The interpretation of stars in a dream are the scholars. So how did the tashbih, how did the resemblance and comparison here occur with the moon? And why are the scholars being compared to the moon and not to the stars? So the previous issue is, why are the scholars being compared to the moon and not the sun? So now he's saying, why were the scholars compared to the moon and not the stars? Whenever it's known that in other examples that this has come, and this is something that is established and well known, that the scholars, they're like stars in the sky. They're like stars in the sky. He says, قِيلَ أَمَّا تَشْبِيهُ الْعُلَمَ بِالنُّجُومِ فَلِأَنَّ النُّجُومَ يُهْتَدَى بِهَا فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَكَذَلِكَ الْعُلَمَ. And he's affirming this affair now, rahimahullah. He said, it will be said to this person, to this questioner, as for the comparison of the scholars to the stars, then this is because the stars are a means of guidance for the people in the darkness on the land and the sea. And likewise the scholars. The stars are a means of guidance in the darkness of land and sea. And likewise the scholars. They're also a means of guidance in the darkness of ignorance and deviation and disbelief and falsehood and misguidance. The scholars, they're a light and a means of guidance in these affairs. Yani, he's referring here to a verse in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah, he mentioned in Surah Al-An'am, وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمْ النُّجُومَ لِتَهْتَدُوا بِهَا فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ قَدْ فَصَّلْنَا الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْلَمُونَ. That indeed we have made for you. We have made for you stars so that you may be guided by way of them in the darkness of the land and the sea. And indeed we clarify the verses, we clarify the signs for people who know. So Allah, he has made the nujum, he has made وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمْ النُّجُومَ لِتَهْتَدُوا بِهَا. And Allah, he says, وَبِالنَّجِمِهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ. And by way of the stars, they are guided. So it's known that the stars are means of guidance. The people, especially in the previous generations, they would be able to determine their direction at nighttime by watching the stars. They'll be able to determine their direction. Are they heading north? Are they heading east? Are they heading west? What direction are they heading? By observing the stars and watching the stars. And this was something that was common and they were well aware of. And if those stars were lost by cloud cover and the likes like this, then they would be in confusion. They will not know where to go. So this is the resemblance here he's making, rahimahullah, that yes, the stars, they are a means for guidance in the darkness of the land and the sea. And likewise the scholars, وَالنُّجُومُ زِينَةٌ لِلسَّمَاءِ وَكَذَلِكَ الْعُلَمَ زِينَةٌ لِلْأَرْضِ. And likewise the stars also are an adornment for the sky. They're an adornment for the heavens. And from the beauty of the heavens are the stars that are in the sky. The stars in the sky, that's the adornment and the beauty of the heavens. And likewise, the people of knowledge, the scholars, they are the adornment of the earth. They are the adornment of the earth. Imagine this, on a pitch black night, yani on a night where the sky is clear and there's no lights, how many stars can you see? How many stars can you see? How beautiful is the sky? So many bright lights. And different places and different colors. And this one is brighter than that one, and that one is red, and this one is flashing and flickering, so on and so forth. And if the stars are beautiful in this manner, the sky becomes beautiful in this manner. So this is the beauty and the adornment of the skies. As for the beauty and the adornment of the earth, then it is by way of the people of knowledge. By way of the people of knowledge, they're the adornment of the earth. Barakallahu fikum. And he says, وَهِيَ رُجُومٌ لِلشَّيَاطِينَ حَائِلَةٌ بَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَ اسْتِرَاقِ السَّمَعِ لِأَلَّا يَلْبِسُوا بِمَا يَسْتَدِقُونَهُ مِنَ الْوَحْيِ الْوَارِدِ إِلَى الرُّسُلِ مِنَ اللَّهِ عَلَى أَيْدِي مَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكَذَلِكَ الْعُلَمَ رُجُومٌ لِلشَّيَاطِينَ الْإِنسِ. الذين يوحي بعضهم إلى بعض زخرف القول غرورا فالعلماء رجوم لهذا الصنف من الشياطين فالعلماء رجوم لهذا الصنف من الشياطين ولولاهم لطمست معالم الدين بتلبيس المضلين ولكن الله سبحانه أقامهم حراس وحفظة لدينه ورجوما لأعدائه وأعداء رسله عليهم الصلاة والسلام. So he says, and likewise shooting stars that pelt the devils. There are those, the rujum, yani meaning those shooting stars that pelt and run off the devils, and that will be a barrier between the devils who are trying to listen to the revelation that is being revealed and to mislead the people in that manner from listening to that which is revealed to the messengers from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the hands of the angels. Yani trying to listen to the revelation that is revealed to the angels and the likes like this. So these stars, they chase like missiles, pelting and running off the devils in this manner in the sky. Rujumun lishayatin, yani they are like missiles pelting and running away the devils, and a barrier between the devils, prohibiting them from causing their mischief in the heavens, and attempting to listen to the revelation and that which occurs between the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, he says the scholars, they also are rujum, yani these missiles that will pelt the devils from mankind, that will drive away the devils from mankind, that reveal and whisper to one another the adorned speech in falsehood and deception, in falsehood and deception. So the scholars, they are like missiles repelling, pelting and driving away this category of people from the devils, this category from the devils. And if it had not been for them, and meaning for the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, then the great rites of the religion will be removed and they will be lost because of the deception and trickery of those who are misguided. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the people of knowledge guardians and protectors for His religion and a means to pelt and drive away and repel His enemies and the enemies of His messengers and the enemies of His messengers. So very similar like this is what is mentioned by Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah. He said, Al-Malaikatu hurrasu as-sama wa ahlul hadithi hurrasu al-ard. That the angels, they are the guardians of the heavens, and the people of hadith, they are the guardians of the earth. So just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has made these shooting stars to be like missiles, pelting and driving away the devils in the heavens, likewise He has placed the people of knowledge on the earth to be like these missiles and guardians and protectors, and to drive away the misguided deviant devils from mankind who seek to mislead the people away from the truth and misguide them away from the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And misguide them away from the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is two more benefits here mentioned. Two more benefits of the stars. The first benefit of the stars is that they are means of guidance in the land and in the sea. And the second benefit of the stars is that they're an adornment for the heavens. And the third benefit here is that they drive away the devils. They drive away the devils that seek to cause mischief in the heavens and in the skies. And the first point, the evidence of that, was mentioned from two verses in the Quran. One of them in Surah Al-An'am, and the other one in Surah Al-Nahl. وَبِالنَّجْمِ هُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ. The first one, هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمْ النُّجُومَ لِتَهْتَدُوا بِهَا فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. And the other one in Surah Al-Nahl, وَبِالنَّجْمِ هُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ. And then these other two benefits that came in one verse, in Surah Al-Mulk. So in Surah Mulk, yani Tabarak, Surah Tabarak, وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحَ وَجَعَلْنَاهَا رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينَ. That indeed we have adorned the heavens of this worldly life, with masabih. Masabih, yani these lights, these lamps, yani meaning the stars. وَجَعَلْنَاهَا رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينَ. We have made them as missiles, pelting and driving away the devils. Pelting and driving away the devils. So these are the benefits of the stars in the sky. If someone mentions something besides this, then he's speaking from his own desires and whims, and he'll be required to bring a proof. He'll be required to bring a proof. But the point here, barakallahu fikum, is that the scholars, they resemble the stars in this manner. Just as the stars, they're a means of guidance, and they're in the sky. Likewise, the knowledge, the people of knowledge on the land, they're a means of guidance. And just as the stars, they're the brilliance and the adornment and beauty of the sky, the people of knowledge, they're the brilliance and the adornment and the beauty of the people of the earth. And just as the stars, likewise, they're a means of protection from the devils and the misguided in the heavens, and likewise, the people of knowledge, they are the guardians and protectors, driving away the devils and those who are misguided from the people on the earth, from the people on the earth. So he says, فَهَذَا وَجْهُ تَشْبِيهِهِمْ بِالنُّجُومِ. And this is the aspect of how the people of knowledge are compared to the stars. Now he says, وَأَمَّا تَشْبِيهُهُمْ بِالْقَمَرِ فَذَلِكَ إِنَّمَا كَانَ فِي مَقَامِ تَفْضِيلِهِمْ عَلَى أَهْلِ الْعِبَادَةِ أَنْ وَجَرَّدَهِ وَمُوَازَنَةِ مَا بَيْنَهُمَا مِنَ الْفَضْلِ والمعنى أنهم يفضلون العباد الذين ليسوا بعلماء كما يفضل القمر سائر الكواكب. He said, as for resembling or comparing the scholars to the moon, then this is only with regards to clarifying their virtue over the people of simple worship. Over the people of simple worship, yani the people who are devoted to worship, yani without ranks of knowledge. Just that to the devout worshippers. So the comparison here is intended. So no doubt the people of knowledge, they have resemblance in comparison to the stars. But in this narration, the benefit is to clarify the virtue of the people of knowledge over the devout worshippers. And this is by comparing the light and the benefit of the moon to the light and the benefit of the rest of the stars. So he says, so the meaning is that the people of knowledge, their virtue over the devout worshippers who are not scholars is like the virtue of the moon over the rest of the stars. So the issue here is to make the comparison and to clarify the virtue. It's clear? Alhamdulillah. So it says, فَكُلُّ مِنَ التَّشْبِهَيْنِ لَائِقٌ بِمَوْضِعِهِ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. So each one of these comparisons is proper and correct in its proper place. And all praise and thanks is for Allah. So if we want to compare the scholars to the stars, we can do that in one context. And if we want to compare the scholars to the moon, we can do that in another context. We understand? And this is all suitable and very beneficial. This is something that is well known. Then he comparing the scholars to the stars. And likewise in this hadith, the hadith is well known. It's been narrated from Shafi'i rahimahullah. He said, إِذَا ذُكِرَ الْعُلَمَاء فَمَالِكُونَ النَّجْمُ. If the scholars they mentioned, then Malik, he's the star. And he is the one who has the high and lofty status and the bright light and brilliance. And he is the means of benefit for the people. So comparing Imam Malik to the stars, this is something that is well known. Also has been narrated from Abu Muslim al-Khawlani, from the Tabi'in. He died in 62. Rahimahullah, he said, مَثَلُ الْعُلَمَ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَثَلُ النُّجُومِ فِي السَّمَاءِ إِذَا بَدَتْ لِلنَّاسِ اِهْتَدَوْا بِهَا وَإِذَا خَافِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ تَحَيَّرُوا. That the example of the scholars in the earth is like that of the stars in the sky. And if they are apparent to the people, then they will be guided. And if they are hidden from them, then they will be in confusion. Understand this. This is a great example and a great point that the people of knowledge, they're like these stars. They're like the stars in the sky. So the stars in the sky, they are a means of guidance. So whenever the stars are clear and a person, he can see them, he knows which direction he's going. But if something happens and for some reason the stars are hidden, then a person, he will become lost in confusion. Maybe he thinks he's going north, but he's going south. Maybe he thinks he's going home to safety and security, but he's going to the doorstep of his enemy. And he does not know. Because he's confused. And he does not have any means of guidance because the light of the stars is hidden from him. So likewise, barakallahu fikum, on the earth as well. The people of knowledge, they are a means of guidance and a means of safety and security. And those who know them and follow them and benefit from their light, then they will also be in security and safety. But those who are confused with regards to them, then they will be confusing in their life and they will be exposed to many dangers and problems and issues and deceptions and tricks of the devil and those who follow him. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So from the greatest means to mislead someone is to cover their eyes from those lights or to confuse them with regards to those lights. Imagine if somebody was traveling at nighttime and he knows that that star right there, that star is in the direction of north. And then somebody came along and said, no, it's not that one, it's this one over here. That's the one that's telling us north. And then he said, no, I know it's this one right here. It has this description and that description. And he says, no. You're wrong. It's this one and this one, this one. I did this and somebody told me that it's that star right there. This is the one we're supposed to follow. So then he leaves what he knows from following the star that he's been following this whole time and he starts following another star. You understand the point? Click. This is the way of the Khawarij. This is the way of the Sufiya. This is the way of ISIS. This is the way of all of the deviant sects. This is the way of all of the deviant sects. How did they come to this deviation? To summarize everything, how did somebody wind up putting a bomb on his chest, going in the masjid and blowing it up in the name of Allah? Huh? To just summarize it in one simple point. How did this man wind up in this position? He's taking knowledge from the wrong people. He's taking knowledge from the wrong people. That's how it happened. He's taking knowledge from the wrong people. He went to the wrong website. He sat in front of the wrong man. He listened to the wrong khutbah. He has the wrong companions. They're telling him the wrong things. They're misleading him and misguiding him until he gave his life. And he took the life of his brothers in the name of Allah. In the name of Allah. On the other hand, how these people that are spinning around, who is spinning in circles? Who with his stove going out in circles in the lights like this, spinning around. Other ones doing this. How did they do it? In the masjid, what do you have to be learned? Well, how did they start doing that? Where did that come from? Huh? Taking knowledge from the wrong source. Taking knowledge from the wrong source. This is the point. This is the point of deviation. There's many factors that are at hand, but to hit the nail on the head. What is it? He took knowledge from the wrong place. How did he start doing that? And how did that occur in the likes like this? There's a number of different means of deviation. But the point is that these people who deviate in this manner in Islam, and they take knowledge from the wrong source. They take knowledge from the wrong source. The first to deviate in Islam were the Khawarij, correct? And where did they take knowledge from? Whenever Ibn Abbas came to them, what did he say to him? Whenever they're ready to fight against Ali radiallahu anhu, and they're declaring him a disbeliever radiallahu anhu, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he went to them. What did he say to them? The first thing, I'm coming to you from the side of the companions. I don't see one of them with you. And he's meaning that your understanding of this book, of the Quran, your understanding of these affairs is contrary to their understanding. Now, none of them have the understanding you have. So they're taking knowledge from the wrong people, from the wrong sources. In those days, who are those who took the knowledge from the mouth of the sheikh? The companions. Who is the sheikh at this time? Huh? The great scholar, the imam. It's the Prophet Muhammad. The knowledge is coming from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So those who did not take knowledge, those in those days who were the students who took knowledge from the lips of the people of knowledge, and they're the companions. They took the knowledge from the lips of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You understand? And we've been talking about these obstacles. We see how this is the chain of our religion. It goes in this manner. So those who are on that path, alhamdulillah, they're safe. And they have a guidance and they have light and things are clear for them and they're not confused. Even whenever people are confused, they're not confused. Whenever the people are tried, they're not tried. They're safe. He's not misguided and he's not miserable. Not in this life and not in the hereafter, because he has knowledge. Because he's holding fast to the proper way. He's getting his knowledge from the proper source in the proper manner. So therefore he's not confused. As for the one who takes knowledge from the wrong source, another source, or he's mixing the sources. He's missing the sources, then now he becomes confused. Now he becomes confused like the person who's traveling in the sea and he's using the stars and all of a sudden a storm comes. And now there's cloud cover and he can't see one star and the pitch black night. Well, what happened now? Which way do we go? I don't know. I think we go this way. No, I think we go that way. I think we, right? Like this, and they're going to be confused, and they're going to be in chaos, and they're going to be in misguidance. So this is the case. So do not be deceived about knowledge and taking knowledge, and about those who find fault with the well-known scholars. Their real goal, and this is what makes them from al-asagir haqqan. You understand that? This is what asagir. That's what we have to test for them, because they are attempting to mislead and misguide the ummah. For even lowly reasons and the likes like this. This is a major problem. This is a major issue. So, knowing who the stars are, knowing who the scholars are, this is of utmost importance. This is of utmost importance. This is of utmost importance. To have no confusion about that. To know them and to know their way, to know their manners, to know their methodologies, to know their fatawa, to know their positions, to know their statements, to know anyhow how they move. This is of utmost importance to be safe in one's religion, and to be safe in one's deen. And this is because in reality those scholars, they are the warathat al-anbiya. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned in the next part of the narration. وَإِنَّ الْعُلَمَاءَ وَرَثَةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ وَإِنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ لَمْ يُوَرِّثُوا دِينَارًا وَلَا دِرْهَمٍ وَرَّثُوا الْعِلْمَ فَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ أَخَذَ بِحَظٍّ وَافِرٍ. And indeed, the scholars, they are the inheritors of the prophets. And the prophets, they did not leave behind as inheritance any gold or any silver, any dinar or any dirham. Rather, they left behind knowledge. So whoever obtains that, then he has obtained a great portion. So now Ibn Qayyim, he discusses this issue here. Rahimahullah. He says, وَقَوْلُهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِنَّ الْعُلَمَاءَ وَرَثَةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ. And the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that indeed the scholars, they are the inheritors of the prophets. هَذَا مِنْ أَعْظَمُ الْمَنَاقِبِ لِأَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ. This is from the greatest virtues. This is from the greatest virtues of the people of knowledge. فَإِنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ خَيْرُ خَلْقِ اللَّهِ فَوَرَثَتُهُمْ خَيْرُ الْخَلْقِ بَعْدُهُمْ. Because فَإِنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ خَيْرُ خَلْقِ اللَّهِ. Because the prophets, they're the best of the creation of Allah. The best of the creation of Allah, and the most beloved and select few. Literally, the select few from the whole entire creation of Allah Azza wa Jalla that have been selected and chosen and preferred over all of the creation, they're the prophets. They're the prophets. فَوَرَثَتُهُمْ خَيْرُ الْخَلْقِ بَعْدُهُمْ. So therefore, those who inherit them are the best of the creation after them. They're the best of the creation after them. وَلَمَّا كَانَ كُلُّ مَوْرُوثٍ يَتَنَقَّلُ مِرَاثُهُ إِلَى وَرَثَتِهِ إِذْ هُمُ الَّذِينَ يَقُومُونَ مَقَامَهُمْ. وَلَمَّا كَانَ كُلُّ مَوْرُوثٍ يَتَنَقَّلُ مِرَاثُهُ إِلَى وَرَثَتِهِ إِذْ هُمْ الذين يقومون مقامه من بعده ولم يكن بعد الرسل من يقوم مقامهم في تبليغ ما أرسلوا به إلا العلماء كانوا أحق الناس بميراثهم And whenever the every person who inherits, every inheritor, his inheritance, it moves to those who inherit from him. And the inheritance, a person, he has an inheritance, a wealth or tariqah that he leaves behind, this goes on to those, moves to those who inherit him after him. And those people who inherit from him, they take his place. They take his place. So for example, if a man, he inherits his father and his business, he takes the place of his father in that business. If he inherits his father in his home, he takes the place of his father in that home. That's his home now. He inherits his father in half a million. That half a million is his now. He takes the place of his father in that. He does what he wants with that. This becomes his now. He takes the place of his father in that. That half a million was in the hands of his father. Now it's in the hands of the one who inherited it. Just like that. We understand? This is what he's saying. So those who inherit, they take the place of the ones they inherited after them. Any before them. And he said that there is no one to take the places of the messengers and that which they leave behind as inheritance from conveying the message that they were sent with, except for the scholars. So therefore, the scholars, they are the most rightful people to their inheritance. They're the most rightful people to their inheritance. He says, وَفِي هَذَا تَنْبِيهٌ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُمْ أَقْرَبُ نَاسِ إِلَيْهِمْ. And here is a clarification or mention that the people of knowledge, they are the nearest of the people, the closest of the people to the prophets. The closest of the people to the prophets, they are the scholars. Why? Because the scholars inherit the prophets. So no one inherits anything from another except the closest to him. Except the closest to him. It's only the closest of the relatives that would inherit. Maybe there is a relative who's close, but if there is others who are closer than him, still alive, then that one who's close will not. Maybe he will not receive an inheritance, because there are others who are closer to him. So those who are, and they're alive. There are others who are closer to him and they're alive. Or maybe there are some relatives that have a right in the inheritance, but because someone who is closer to them is alive, likewise they got lesser. Their share is smaller. Their share is smaller. Had that other person who is closer to him not been there, then he would have been the closest and he would have had a greater share. This is how the inheritance goes. So to summarize, the inheritance is in this manner. It goes to the closest of relatives. And even if there's a relative who's close, if someone who is closer to him in kin is alive, he may take his spot and he will not get anything. Or maybe he'll get less. So the point is that the inheritance goes to those who are closest. So who inherits the prophets and messengers? Those who are closest. The scholars. So just as we love the prophets and messengers, we love after them the scholars, because they're the closest to the prophets and messengers. Now we remember what Sheikh Suleiman, he said, Hafidhullah, one of his teachers told him, Ya Suleiman, La takuna sharra min al-hayawan. Oh Suleiman, don't be more evil and wicked than an animal. Because the animals, they even seek forgiveness for the scholar. And so don't be more foul and lowly than the animals. And he meaning finding fault and talking bad and spreading the ills or shortcomings, spreading the shortcomings of the people of knowledge. Because the people of knowledge are the closest, barakallahu fikum, to the prophets. وَفِي هَذَا تَنْبِيهٌ عَلَى أَنَّهُمْ أَقْرَبُ النَّاسِ إِلَيْهِمْ. And here is a clarification that the people of knowledge are the nearest of mankind to the prophets. فَإِنَّ الْمِيرَاثَ إِنَّمَا يَكُونُ لِأَقْرَبِ النَّاسِ إِلَى الْمَرُوثِ. Because the inheritance, it only goes to the one who is closest to the one who died in past. وَهَذَا كَمَا أَنَّهُ ثَابِتٌ فِي مِيرَاثِ الدِّينَارِ وَالدِّرْهَمِ فَكَذَلِكَ هُوَ فِي مِيرَاثِ النُّبُوَّةِ وَاللَّهُ يَخْتَصُّ بِرَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. الله أكبر. He said, in this, just as it is established in inheriting the gold and silver, likewise it's established in inheriting prophethood. And Allah, He specifies, He shows special preference to whom He wills. وَاللَّهُ يَخْتَصُّ بِرَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. And Allah, He shows preference, specifying His mercy for whomever He wills. وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. And Allah, He creates whatever He wills and He chooses. He chooses and He selects. He chooses from the angels and He selects from them. He selected Jibreel to be the two ones to convey the message. And He chooses from mankind and He selects the best of them. And He chooses the prophets, and from them the messengers, and from them five, and from them one, the best of them to be the seal of all prophets and messengers. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from mankind and from the followers of all of the prophets and messengers, Allah, He chose the best of them to be the followers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from them He chose Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu to be the best of them. وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. Allah, He creates whatever He wills and He chooses and selects. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created the months 12, and He chose Ramadan to be the best. And He made four of them sacred. And He does as He wills, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is from that. Allah Azza wa Jal, He selects and He chooses from His mercy, and He guides whom He wills according to His supreme knowledge and ultimate wisdom, and He misleads whom He wills, subhanahu wa ta'ala, from His supreme justice and authority and command, tabaraka wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah from His grace and His mercy to guide us and to make us firm upon guidance. He says, وَفِيهِ أَيْضًا إِرْشَادٌ وَأَمْرٌ لِلْأُمَّةِ بِطَاعَتِهِمْ وَاحْتِرَامِهِمْ وَتَعْزِيرِهِمْ وَتَوْقِيرِهِمْ وَإِجْلَالِهِمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ وَرَثَةُ مَنْ هَذِهِ بَعْضُ حُقُوقِهِمْ عَلَى الْأُمَّةِ وَخُلَفَاؤُهُمْ فِيهِمْ. And likewise, here is guidance. In this narration, here is guidance from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and direction and a command for the ummah to obey the people of knowledge and to honor them and to respect them and to hold them in high honor and reverence. And this is because they are the inheritors of those whom these are some of their rights. And he affirmed the rights of the prophets and messengers that they should be honored, that they should be supported, that they should be respected, that they should be revered, that they should be obeyed, that they should be obeyed. This is from the rights of the prophets, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. And likewise, those who inherit them, they have those rights and they share in that light as well. That also they should be honored, they should not be disrespected, they should be followed, and they should be revered, and they should be respected, and they should be respected, and they should be obeyed. And whenever they command that which is clear from the Quran and the Sunnah and the likes like this, this is the way of a true believer. This is the way of a true believer, because they are the khulafa, those who are taking the place after them, any of those who are coming after them and taking their place in leadership and authority and conveying the message. And he's taking the place of the prophets. He says, وَفِيهِ تَنْبِيهٌ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ مَحَبَّتُهُمْ مِنَ الدِّينِ. And likewise, there is also an indication here that loving the scholars is from the religion. وَبُغْضُهُمْ مُنَافٍ لِلدِّينِ. And that detesting them is contrary to the religion. كَمَا هُوَ ثَابِتٌ لِمَوْرُوثِهِمْ. Just as this is affirmed for those whom they inherited. So he says, Rahimahullah, وَفِيهِ تَنْبِيهٌ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ مَحَبَّتُهُمْ مِنَ الدِّينِ وَبُغْضَهُمْ مُنَافٍ لِلدِّينِ. So here's an indication likewise in this narration that loving the people of knowledge is from the deen, and despising them is contrary. It's contrary to the deen. كَمَا هُوَ ثَابِتٌ لِمَوْرُوثِهِمْ. Just as this is affirmed for the one they inherited. وَكَذَلِكَ مُعَادَاتُهُمْ وَمُحَارَبَاتُهُمْ مُعَادَاتٌ وَمُحَارَبَاتٌ لِلَّهِ مُعَادَاتٌ وَمُحَارَبَاتٌ لِلَّهِ كَمَا هُوَ فِي مَوْرُوثِهِمْ. And likewise, as well, taking enmity towards them, meaning the people of knowledge, and going to war with them as having enmity and going to war with Allah, just as is in the case of the ones whom they inherited. We understand this. So just as it's blatant opposition, وَلِيَذَّ بِاللَّهِ, to have enmity to one of the prophets and messengers, and to be at war with them in opposition to them, likewise those who inherited them. Likewise those who inherited them. And this is here we're talking about the true scholars of the Sunnah. And we know that from the ranks of those who ascribe to knowledge, there are those who imitate them and not from them. So we should not be confused. We're not talking about those who imitate them and not from them. Any ulama as-su. Ulama as-su. We're not talking about ulama as-su. We're talking about the scholars of the Sunnah, those who are well known. Those who are well known. So this is the case here. This is very dangerous. He says, قَالَ عَلِيٌّ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَحَبَّةُ الْعُلَمَا دِينٌ يُدَانُ اللَّهِ بِهِ يُدَانُ اللَّهُ بِهِ. And he says, Ali, he says, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, that loving the scholars is a religion, that one he will do for the sake of Allah. The one he will do for the sake of Allah. وَقَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِيمَا يَرْوِيهِ عَنْ رَبِّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ بَارَزَنِي بِالْمُحَارَبَةِ وورثة الأنبياء سادات أولياء الله عز وجل. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned in that which he narrates from his Lord, and meaning in the al-hadith al-Qudsi, that Allah, he says, and whoever takes enmity towards one of my awliya, to one of my allies, and one of my beloved slaves, then indeed he has opposed me, and he has blatantly taken war against me, and he has come to war with me. And if the one who takes one of the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal, one of the true believers, beloved believers, obedient believers, that is, as an enmity, he's taking Allah as an enemy. He's taking enmity with Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the hadith of the Wadi, which is well known. So he says here, rahimahullah, that the inheritors of the prophets, they're the best of the beloved and righteous slaves of Allah Azza wa Jal. The best of the awliya are the true people of knowledge. Are the true people of knowledge. He says, وَفِيهِ تَنْبِيهٌ الْعُلَمَا عَلَى السُّلُوكِ هَدِيَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَتَرِيقَتِهِمْ فِي التَّبْرِيغِ مِنَ الصَّبْرِ وَالْاحْتِمَالِ وَمُقَابَلَةِ إِسَاءَةِ النَّاسِ إِلَيْهِمْ بِالْإِحْسَانِ وَالرِّفْقِ بِهِمْ وَاسْتِجْلَابِهِمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ بِأَحْسَنِ الطُّرُقِ وَبَذْلِ مَا يُمْكِنُ مِنَ النَّصِيحَةِ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّهُ بِذَلِكَ يَحْصُلُ لَهُمْ نَصِيبُهُمْ مِنْ هَذَا الْمِيرَاثِ الْعَظِيمِ قَدْرُهُ الْعَظِيمِ قَدْرُهُ الْجَلِيلِ خَطَرُهُ. He says, likewise, an indication here that the people of knowledge, they must traverse the guidance of the prophets and followed their way in conveying the message, and that is to be patient and to bear the harms that they face from the injustice of the people, and that they do that in the best manner, and that they have gentleness and kindness in dealing with them, and that they strive to call the people to Allah and bring them to His path in the best means and the best ways. They give their best effort to advise them sincerely, and in this manner, then they will obtain the greatest portion of that inheritance and the most noble of that inheritance which is most great and most noble. And again, an indication that even the people of knowledge, they although they're the inheritors of the prophets, this goes back to the previous issue. The inheritance is not the same. So, for example, يعني وَلِذَكْرِ حَظُّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ صح. The man he had in the inheritance of a man, he has the like of two females. The male, he has the like of two females. And the point is that some inherit more than another. Some, they would inherit more. They have more of a right to the inheritance than another. Maybe two people that inherit it, but one, he will take more of that inheritance than another. And this is divine wisdom. There's divine wisdom here, and Allah, He has divided this and He has decreed this. So the point here is that likewise the people of knowledge, they're different and they vary with regards to their portion of that inheritance. They differ with regards to their portion of that inheritance. We have seen that the comparison to the moon is because the moon differs in its light. So likewise the people of knowledge, they differ in their light. And some of them have a greater portion than others. Meaning that the light that the prophets left behind, it was the light of prophethood, inheritance, knowledge, ilm al-nafi'. So the people of knowledge who inherit them, also they vary. Some of them have a greater portion of the inheritance than others, although they all share in that. Although they all share in that. He's saying here's an indication of how to obtain the greatest portion of that. How to truly obtain the greatest portion of that for a person of knowledge is to bear that knowledge and to carry that knowledge and to convey that knowledge in the same manner that the prophets did, that they bear the harm of their people. For the sake of Allah, and they were patient, and they did not give up, and they were not hasty, and they're not reckless, and they were forbearing, and they met the harshness and rudeness, and the violence and the evils of their people in the best manner. And they tried to guide their people and direct them in the easiest and the best ways. And they made it easy for them and not hard. And they facilitated for them and didn't make it complicated. So therefore, if a scholar or a person of knowledge or a teacher, likewise, he wants to have a great portion of that inheritance, he has to follow the way. He has to follow the way of the prophets and messengers and the way they conveyed. And this is also from that inheritance that they left behind. The methodology and the manner of conveying the message. The manner and methodology of conveying the message. So in this manner, by following them in this aspect and taking them as role models, then his amount of inheritance will increase. And the benefit that he has from that inheritance will be greater. Will be greater. This is his point here. All of this is derived from this statement. This is an indication of the vast knowledge of this man and the blessing that Allah had given him, that he would reflect on this word here. And then he would think and reflect upon these affairs until these great benefits, and he come to him by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal. He says, وَفِيهِ أَيْلًا تَنْبِيهُ لِأَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ عَلَى تَرْبِيَةِ الْأُمَّةِ كَمَا يُرَبِّي الْوَالِدُ وَلَدَهُ فَيُرَبُّونَهُ بِالتَّدْرِيجِ وَالتَّرَقِّي مِنْ صِغَارِ الْعِلْمِ إِلَى كِبَارِهِ وتحميله منه ما يطيقون كما يفعل الأب بولده الطفل في إيصال الغذاء إليه فإن الأرواح البشر بالنسبة إلى الأنبياء والرسل كالأطفال بالنسبة إلى آبائهم بل دون هذه النسبة بكثير ولهذا كل روح لم يربها الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم لم تفلح ولم تصلح لصالحة كما قيل وَمَنْ لَا يُرَبِّهِ الرَّسُولُ وَيَسْقِهِ لِبَانَ هُدًى قَدْ دَرَّ مِنْ ثَدِي قُدْسِهِ فَذَاكَ لَقِيطٌ مَا لَهُ نِسْبَةُ الْوَلَى وَلَا يَتَعَدَّى تَوْرَ أَبْنَاءِ جِنْسِهِ. يعني he's a لقيط. يعني this reminds me of a benefit that I heard from Sheikh Al-Fawzan. يعني he mentioned that the one who learns from the books only and he does not have a teacher, the scholars, they call him لقيط. The لقيط, يعني the لقطة. The raqiyat is a child who's left on the street and abandoned. And as a baby, some people, waliyadu billah, they take their child and leave him on the street. And others will just walk by and pick him up and find, oh, I found a baby. This baby is called raqiyat. And he malqult. Somebody picked him up. You understand? They left him there like this. So the people of knowledge, they resemble the one who learned from the books to be like this person here. Because the one who learns properly, he has a lineage. He has a lineage. He's on the chain. This is what we're going. This is what we're talking about before, right? He's on the chain. He's on the chain. He has a teacher who has a teacher who has a teacher who has a teacher who has a teacher, like this. He's on the way of a salaf as-salih and learning. But as for the one who doesn't have a teacher, he just has a book. Right? He doesn't have a teacher. He just has a book or he has a tape work. He said that's it. Nothing else. Nothing else. Then he's like this. Yani this abandoned. The qit. He has no lineage. Yani this is something that's very blameworthy, by the way. Yani in general. So that's the point. That's the point. This person, he has no lineage, he has no tribe, he has no father, he has nothing, he's nobody. And he's worthless. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. That's the point. Don't take knowledge from the likes of this. And so he says, وَفِيهِ أَيْلًا تَنْبِيهُنْ لِعَلِلِمْ. So this is also an indication that the people of knowledge, they have to strive to cultivate and raise the ummah the way that a father will raise his child. So therefore, he will cultivate them بِالتَدْرِيجِ بِالتَدْرِيجِ وَالتَرَقِّي يعني little by little and gradually, indicating the issue of how to teach, because this is the way to learn. The way to learn is to learn gradually. So therefore, the way to teach is to teach gradually. And this is an indication here that the scholars, they must follow the same way. They must follow the same way because this was the way of the prophets and messengers. So therefore, they were teaching the small knowledge before the large knowledge. And they will carry them in a manner that they can bear. So they will look at each student in different lights. Some students can bear more than other students. Some student, he can only listen to one class a week. Another one, he can listen to 10 classes a day. Right? One student, he can sit in the class for 30 minutes, and now he lost his, he can only focus for 30 minutes, 1 hour, between Maghrib and Isha. After that, he can't go no more. Another one, he can sit until midnight, and he'll want more, and it won't affect him. He'll still get a Fajr and everything. He's fine. He's fine. And so the people are different. So they will carry them in this manner. They look at them in this way. كَمَا يَفَرُ أَبُوا بِوَلَدِهِ طِفْلٌ فِي إِصَالِ الْغِذَاء إِلَيْهِ. The same way that a father, he would do with his baby child in bringing his nourishment. So he says here that the souls of the human beings in comparison to the prophets and messengers is like that of the children in comparison to their fathers, and to their parents. So just as the parents, they cultivate and raise the bodies of the children, the prophets and messengers and their inheritors, they cultivate and raise the souls. They cultivate and raise the souls and the hearts and rectify them and correct them and make them strong, just as the parents, they take care of the children from that physical aspect. So, he says, بَلْدُونَ هَذِهِ بِكَثِيرٍ. Brother, even greater than this, greater than this. And so for this reason, that's been mentioned that every soul that was not cultivated by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it will never be successful. It will never be successful, and it will never be upright ever. And this is what those lines of poetry were about. And the one who did not learn from the light and the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's going to be this laqit, and he does not have anything. He will never be successful. And this is the example, likewise, of those who do not have teachers. So this is a great benefit. All of this is derived here from the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa innal ulama'a warathatu al-anbiya. And then he says after this sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa innal anbiya'a lam yuwarithu dinara wala dirham. Warathu al-ilma faman akhadahu akhadha bihadhin wafir. And the prophets, they did not leave behind as inheritance any dinar or any dirham, no gold nor silver. Rather, they left behind knowledge. Rather, they left behind knowledge, and Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he discusses this issue, and we take this inshallah in our class to come. Barakallahu fikum. If there are any questions or comments or corrections, we can take them now while we wait for the iqamah. While we're waiting for the iqamah, barakallahu fikum. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.